How y'all doing? Three Tribesmen back once again, giving you guys our information, or what we think to be is information. I'm here with Brad, EK, as well as I got my boy Timmy Tao. Today's information, we are really diving in about how come Africans are thriving in America. That's the topic for today. What you guys think about that one?
So many factors. Where do we start? There's so many factors. I think the main thing I would say is because a lot of our parents were the first, like kind of like that first generation of people to come to America. Now you've seen the kids develop in America. We have a lot of friends that are, because we grew up with these kind of people, and you look at artists today that, for example, Davido grew up in Atlanta, you know, and now you can see him thriving in as a successful artist globally. I mean, this, I don't even just say America. The question should be, why are Africans thriving?
Period, right?
Period, globally. Yeah. And it has to do with also education. I think that's something our parents own in on us. Like, you have to study, you have to go to school, you have to, you know, all these things that they've put in us is like, you know I couldn't come up with a C. I knew I couldn't come up with a B. It was always like, you have to make sure you have an A.
Top of the class.
You have to be the best of your class. Why is that person first? Why you no first? Why, you know, that pressure. I still remember when I first got a grade my freshman year of college, my GPA was like 3.75, and I thought I did good. I'm like, freshman year, first grade. And I took that thing home, like, and you could look, just the way they looked at me, like, 2 points. 2 point something, 2 point. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I thought I did good. It's my first college experience. I'm doing.
Idiot, shut up.
You know, so after that, I mean, honestly, I just wanted to be better at school because I feel like they were disappointed in me. One thing you don't want to do is be have your parents or anybody in your family members disappointed in you. So with that reason, with that experience, I mean, whatever feedback I got from them, I wanted to thrive more. And I'm sure it's with everybody else. Education has been a big factor. So because of education, just some of the fact that some of us are actually now in all these countries, it's like you have to, like, you run this race with a lot of people and you want to stand out a little bit because we're supposed to stand out. I think that's one of the main reasons why a lot of Africans out here are thriving in all aspects.
Facts.
All aspects. What do you think?
I think, of course, education is probably a real big reason, but I also say the family dynamics, right? I think that there's a study out there, not necessarily just on Africans, but in general, when, you know, someone who comes from a two-parent household than a single-parent household, right? And a lot of Africans, again, I think we've talked about in the past, are parents are still, they're both together, right? And I think that having both parents in the household where there could be some sort of assistance, whether it's with school support or whatnot and stuff like that, and you don't just have somebody who is a single-family home and the mom or dad is just working and they don't have any time to attend and help you with homework and help solve problems, I think that has a lot to do with it, right? Having the two-parent household and them being able to assist you, help you any way possible when you're growing up in America.
Yep.
That has something to do with the success that we're seeing from us. And then, of course, education. Like, they don't want any distractions, you know. Like, you know, most family households, sports and music is seen as a positive thing. Hey, it's an extracurricular activity for them. That's a distraction for the most part. So I think that, you know, and because of that, a lot of kids or a lot of Africans don't get the chance to embark on those activities. So they have to focus on school, right? And if you focus on school, you get your degree, you can probably go to some sort of graduate program or medical school or, you know, law school, whatever the case may be. You do all that, you graduate, you get all the accolades and stuff like that. Then what happens? You end up becoming a doctor or a lawyer or accountant or whatever the case may be, architect. And, you know, those are high paying, very successful jobs. So I think that is probably the biggest thing. Really, to me, it's not only just education, but because you have both parents, and there's not as much struggle there as it would be possibly in a single family household.
So I'm gonna go a little different though. I believe it's opportunity.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. Education is cool, but it's a lot of people that just want that just need the opportunity. And because in Africa, it's so limited, and like education, you have to pay for education, bro. You have it's a luxury, bro, to get an education, which is crazy. And the crazy part is Africans will go to any, it doesn't even have to be America, anywhere, even in the UK, they're thriving, but they're thriving because they see an opportunity. Like, yo, when I was back home, I have to pay for what you guys are getting for free. So I'm going to utilize everything in the as much as possible. So I take it as opportunity, because if you give us a little bit, you'll see we'll take a lot. We can talk about academics. We can talk about a career field. We can talk about sports. All you have to do is give someone an opportunity, and they literally will thrive with that. So I believe that's something big for sure, for sure.
We're very resilient, too. Like, you have to think about it. Forget about those that were, like, some of us who are fortunate to be born in America. Some people actually have to apply, get a visa.
Facts.
And then when they finally make it, that's a sigh of relief. Like, now I've gotten this opportunity. I cannot
let it go to waste.
Like, they understand that. Like, you see some people come out here and become housekeepers, cleaners. Doesn't matter what their education background is. They have to make it work.
Facts.
You know, another thing I feel like is a lot of Africans, too, are very business-oriented. Like, you can come in and start something. Even if it's a catering business, you can be a cook, make jollof rice, be whatever it is. Like, you want to do something, you start off having a business. Like, you just think of business. And with that, you create jobs for others. Like, now you become a boss. And not only that, you start thinking of your business back home, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to build a house back home. You start doing real estate. So there's a lot of things that we've already, I think it's like built in us a lot, like that resilience factor. Like, that's what's causing a lot of us to be very successful at whatever we do. Because we know that it's not easy to just make it out here. And when you're here, it's like,
right,
you're not going to chill, relax. No, like, any moment now, you never know. Like, you might have to go back to Africa. And a lot of people want to actually become something of themselves, because people back home, there's a village looking at you, relying on you.
Thanks.
It could be you could be a husband coming out here trying to figure it out before your wife and kids move out to America too. Like, you're not about to just come out here and relax and chill, and they're just looking at you like they hoping that you become something. You know, they're praying for you. They know all those kind of things. Like, I know a lot of people who have come to America, and after they settle here for a little while, get jobs, then they bring their wife over.
Yep, yep.
You know, they start bringing a little bit family members over, the grandmothers over, all that kind of stuff. Yep. So you can't just come here and chill, because you know that you have a village that you're supporting back then. They rely on you. And that's what I think drives a lot of people to want to be successful and eventually become successful.
So I was going to say the same thing, but Nine times out of 10, it is getting a little watered down. That's one thing I am scared of. But 9 times out of 10, if your parents came to this country, they are taking care of somebody back home.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Be it your grandmother, uncles, your nieces, nephews, they are sending money back 9 times out of 10. So a lot of times when you ask your parents for McDonald's and they don't give you McDonald's, it's a reason why. Like, you know, your parents are making good money, but it's a reason, because they're actually having to send home money back home. But you wouldn't understand that as a child. It's something that you, once you get older, you understand it. Because when I lived in Nigeria, I had relationships with, you know, with, made good relationships with friends, family members, and all of that. And then when I came back, it was put upon me to where I started sending money back home. Not because I had to, because I understood. At the end of the day, regardless, I was sitting on the roof in the village, chilling, and I'm thinking like, yo, this is crazy. But at the same time, as much as I seen the stars and I'm looking up in the sky, I get to leave.
Yeah, you realize how fortunate you are. You're like, I'm only here for a little bit, and you're like, man, you just don't even know what your life might be. And not to think that people are not successful in Africa. Don't get it twisted. That's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about just how it's easy to, like, have accessible water, roads, like, you know, being in a different, like in America, for example, the way of life is a lot easier. It's safer. You can easily call 911. Over there, it's not the same. You're not afforded the same opportunities we have here. So that's why a lot of people come here to have those opportunities. But don't get it misconstrued and think that people are not enjoying life back home. People are really enjoying life.
Facts.
But we're talking about those that actually don't have the same opportunities that we have. And it's a great feeling giving back, man. It just feels like, it feels good knowing that anything goes a long way for anybody you give money to back home. You can give $10, $20, your pair of clothes, shoes, whatever it is, and they appreciate those kind of things. So, yeah, man, giving back to me, I take that as a badge of honor that I'm able to even do stuff like that. Like, I just donated to my childhood church in Nigeria, and I gave back to the choir out there, and they were just so thankful for the – and to be honest with you, it wasn't even a lot of money. It was a little bit of money, and they still took that. Like, it was still able to help them. To help the choir, anytime I have something, rather than just giving it away to Goodwill, whatever it is, put that thing on a container, send that thing back home, because I know that some of the stuff that you wear, you might not want to wear them anymore, but somebody else might think that's his blood.
I know, Brad, your situation's a little bit different because you haven't been home. You haven't been home in a minute. It's been a while. Now, just a heads up, when you do go back home, bro, you take three luggages. I'm going to tell you how to pack it. You pack your stuff. You pack the stuff you're going to give away.
Yep.
And then you pack for the stuff you bring it back. Right. You understand? Because one luggage is staying. One luggage ain't even coming back home, bro. That's the luggage you'd be like, oh, you're going to dash that one away. You understand? But
yeah. I kind of understand already. My aunt and uncle, like I said, and my dad, they go back all the time. So they already kind of educated me on that. So yeah, I get it. Yeah, I mean, she even said that, like, whenever I don't have something, hey, I go give it to my aunt. Like, hey, I'm not wearing this stuff anymore. I just did a spring cleaning probably about a month ago, and I cleaned out my closet, threw two bags, took it to my aunt's house. Hey, girl, you know, should be back home. You know what I'm saying? I don't need this stuff. Like, it's just sitting in the back of my closet collecting dust.
Man,
you know
they'll take anything back.
You know,
furniture, they'll say, why are you giving this one away?
I get back shoes, clothes, bags. Everything. Like,
I just send
it to them. And that's stuff that I probably wore once, and I just never, like, didn't
send
wear
it home.
Oh, these are still fresh, too. You know, have somebody out there looking real fresh. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, and I get it. So, let me ask y'all a question. We're thriving out here. Do you think that, you know, let's say Americans or Black Americans, per se, move back home, how do you foresee that going? Do you think they could go back home, and could they thrive back at home, like back in Nigeria or Africa in general?
Of course,
they move back.
Of course, it's the thing about you can live an amazing life in Nigeria. I mean, amazing. Mm-hmm. We'll talk that on another segment. Mm-hmm. Trust me, how I was living out there. But you have to, your money has to be in order. Mm-hmm. In Nigeria, people think that people in Nigeria don't have money, which we have tons of it. But the thing about it is, when you want that car, that Mercedes Benz, there's no lease on that. There's no car payment. You buy that
cash.
Straight outright. Yeah. So when you see somebody with a G-Wagon, bro, he dropped 120 on that minimum, easy.
Yeah, no car notes.
No car notes. Yeah. That house, there's not
no mortgage.
He paid the land and he paid for that house. Right. So it's very much possible. And you can, and as long as you have, my thing is, as long as you have a stream of income coming in from America, right, because you want to make money, you want to make your money in America, but you want it to translate in Africa. You understand? Because it's more, I think you can live an amazing life. And I commend them, though.
I think I've started to see a lot more of that happening, though, right? Well, a lot of people, especially Ghana, for one, right? Because,
for sure,
you know, moving forward, it's kind of being progressive and moving and stuff like that. And I see more and more Black Americans, hey, buying land, moving back and stuff like that, you know, and they're not even like, I'm not even talking about Ghanaian Americans, I'm talking about Black Americans.
Right, facts.
You know, and they're moving back and they're acquiring land and they're building homes. Now, there's two sides of it, right? So how do you think that's a, you know, I think that's great, but there's some people who may say, hey, well, what about the locals in the area? How do you think that that may affect them, right? Is that like you can't call it gentrification because these are Black Americans. And a lot of them probably have Ghanaian in their blood or West African in their blood and stuff like that. But how do you see that for the locals? Do you think that will kind of push them out, move them out of some of these areas and stuff like that? Like, what do you think that, how do you think that's going to affect them?
I don't think anybody, not that I know of, is going to be like, oh, all these Black people moving to Africa. If anything, they're happy as hell.
Facts.
To be your friend.
Facts.
To show you the city, to make you understand where you're really from, because you're really from here.
Happy to just ingratiate the culture.
You know, just the fact that, you know, I think if anything, it's more so the person going there that has to adapt.
Right.
It ain't like, no, you have to adapt because you have to understand you're not in America anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. You're not in Kansas no more. You here now.
Right.
You know, and don't get it twisted. I've said this for another episode. You can get robbed too.
Yeah.
You know, because you're the freshest guy on the block, so you might be the target now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think for a lot of people, you go back home, it's an opportunity for them to get jobs because they can at least be a driver. If you need a driver, mm-hmm. they can help you out. I mean, my parents right now are even helping some people, some kids in Africa by sending them to school.
Facts.
As a Black person going back home, you can't just look at it like you're just going there. No, you have to also be able to, you coming home also helps maybe create an opportunity for others back there. You know, just, they won't understand your way of life, same way you can understand their way of life. And like, I went to school out there. A lot of my friends that live in Nigeria are architects. Some of them are already, like, they're doing very, very, very well. So if a Black person is to go home, it doesn't mean you're hanging out with people that have no money. No, you're hanging out with another friend who's probably in a Maybach taking you to the spot down the street. You living good. Like, man, I didn't know y'all was living like this.
Yeah.
You ever see, like, Chris Brown, all these rappers go to Africa and hang out with Burna Boy and DeVito, and you're like, they probably looking at it like, man, our boys is doing it. Like, you can go back there as even as it doesn't, you don't have to be black, you can be white, you can be whatever you are. Go back there and you see how they would actually embrace you.
Facts.
More than anything. Facts. It's like they're happy you actually get to enjoy our culture. You know, like, yeah. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity. And I've always said that if you've never, if you're a black individual, make sure you step foot on that soil, man. You got to go back to Africa some way, shape, or form. Find a way to go out there, spend some time out there. Just take it in. And once you get there, you know you're in a different place. You just know it.
Facts. I think that's true. Yeah. Just going back home, I think it's just important regardless. But to be able to actually say that I engulfed everything of Africa, and absolutely, then I loved it so much that I told myself that I will leave one country and move to another country and actually build a set foundation, bro. It's huge. It's big. It's a big thing, honestly. And if done right, because there's good and bad to everything, if done right, you can literally live coming to America lifestyle.
Wonderful.
I'm dead serious.
Talking about you have securities, police officers just following you, motorcades. You're like, man,
someone's
you come to America, you're like,
somebody's running your bath water, like, bro.
My sister has moved back to Nigeria just because she wanted that comfort. Like, and I'm like, you want to move back? Yeah, but she said because, I mean, when I go there, I low-key be lazy. I don't drive out there.
100%.
Anyway, I want to go to where the driver is getting the car ready, and I sit in the back seat just enjoying life. I want to eat something. I come home, and someone's making me food.
Yep.
We get there. There's security opening up the gate for us. Like, yep. You know, it's like a different lifestyle. Like, everything I need is brought to me. Like, you can live like a king out there, man. A little bread and can go a long way out there. Facts. Absolutely. You don't even put your own gas in the car.
Facts. Do you have I know I'm already in the process of building. It should be completed soon. I'm not sure. Are any of you guys thinking about building homes or probably taking over your parents' home while you're out there? If that's a thing.
Taking over for sure. Building, that's definitely something that I do some of that here in America now. So the plan is to definitely get out there, buy some land, and, you know, build a compound, you know, just have a compound sitting and wait. So that's definitely something that's seen happening in the future. Just got to get out there and get out there more often, get more comfortable, sure. get acclimated to how they do things out there as far as that, you know, that specific industry and as far as developing and stuff like that. So, yeah, absolutely. And then as far as the houses, I think we have a couple houses out there on my mom's side, on my dad's side or whatnot. So, yeah, definitely something we'll probably do as far as taking over, you know, moving forward down the line.
I mean, for me, it's like you haven't made it until you actually build a house.
Facts.
In Africa. Like, and it's a celebration when you, like, in America, you buy a house, you get the keys and you take a picture. We got a house sold. Nah.
No.
You see that thing from the foundation up.
Facts.
You see that thing from the foundation up. And the one thing I like about, especially in Nigeria now, because that's what I can speak of, is a lot of developers are building homes now where you can just buy it outright. You know, when I was growing up, my uncles would send money to Nigeria and their first was the foundation and the concrete and all this. And then they got to build. It takes 2, 3, 4 years. Sometimes somebody going to run away with your money. And the house is like, you thinking the house is being built. They're sending you pictures in America like, oh, the house is great.
It's a whole family in your shit.
It's going good. You go back to Nigeria, take a look at the house. You seen like mechanic shop, like, you know, and that's a different type. Conversation. Yeah. For me, it goes without saying. My parents tell me all the time, you have to build back home. I don't have a house that I've built yet. However, my siblings and I have put money together to build a house for our pops and mom, for them. Mm-hmm. So technically, it's their house. I don't have anything yet. My sister just got a house with her husband out there, and they live in England. This is another sister, by the way. They live in England, but they have a house there. So every time I go to Nigeria, they go back home. I'm always with them.
Mm-hmm.
At their house, you know, but eventually I like to have my own space. But I think that comes with when I finally have a family where I can, because me having a house and just putting it out there, you know, it's a little different because for one, if I have a house out there, I don't think I would want to rent it out. It would just be my house.
Facts.
And then lock the doors and
facts.
I ain't, you know, have a security guard because some of my parents, that's what I do right now. You just have a security guard, just guard the house for 6 to 8 months before you come back home. And when you come home, he's still there. And then, but yeah, you don't necessarily have to live in it. I mean, I know I went to Ghana for the first time in December, and man, and I got to look into this. The amount of abandoned homes out there is
I swear I was about to just bring that up.
It's very disturbing. I don't know, understand it. I wish I asked more questions, but that's interesting. So many houses are not finished.
I'm talking about regular homes. I'm like, talking about 100-room mansions.
We got to get somebody from, you know, Ghana on here.
Nah, really, well, I'm very curious. Maybe I'll look this up because the place we were staying at, it was an Airbnb, but the houses around it were, like, not finished. And they were, like, maybe 90% almost done, but nobody's completed it. So, and I think that's just because a lot of people maybe just take their time to build it. Because once you already own the land, right, it's like it's yours.
Right.
Then you build the foundation and now it's yours. And maybe because you're not paying no property taxes.
Yeah.
It's like you do it whenever you have the money to do it. Like, you know, the little window. Like some buildings are done, but it's not painted. But then you start seeing people starting living in there. Like you come home, you got to get some, pay somebody to kick them out of there.
Facts.
You know, like it's so many abandoned homes out there. People like don't finish these homes. I don't understand what it is, but nah, but. You know, for sure, I want to definitely get a house for myself out there, man. It has to happen, man. Like I say, that's how you know you've made it.
Nah, for real. Then you throw that big, huge party at the end.
And then you throw that big party and all the neighbors,
everybody
the
ones come
you didn't
over.
Invite, they're still there getting a plate.
Everybody come get a plate, bro, and be eating, bro. For real. Nah, that's one of them moments for sure to build something. So I'm big on anybody going back home. We're gonna figure something out where we can actually get someone on the show that actually specializes in setting people up to they can put money in or however they do it. So that way they can actually take that tour and go back home to these African countries and actually get to see it. If anything, I would say, hey, do your 23andMe ancestry, whatever it is, African ancestry.
Go to that 1% country that you claim
find
on your
out,
bio.
find out where most of that drop of that blood is from, and tap in with somebody and figure it out. Within time, you can for sure go back and they should be able to give you like an amazing experience, and you should be able to tap in to the culture on a whole different level.
There's some countries I haven't heard. Like, for example, I don't know if you saw. I think I sent it to you guys. There's like in Ghana, there's a certain area where they're giving out free land, and don't quote me on this, but there's like it's like a thing where it's like they want you to come home, and if you come home, I think you get an ID, become basically a citizen or whatever it is. They'll give you a land, and you can do whatever, you know, build something on that land, and that's just a way of this African leadership trying to make you feel like you're a part of it.
Sure.
So come home, build something out here, like, you know. They encourage those sort of things.
Yeah, I know Ghana is on that with the dual citizenship. I think that was amazing. I'm not even gonna lie. It's different walking into one country and then walking in with your other passport. Something just so happens. Don't know. I'm just not saying something will. But you can always be like, yo, catch y'all later. I'm out of here and get on. You feel me? And get your family up out of here. But I think when opportunities like that open up, I think for sure gotta take it.
And don't think and I don't want people to think that like it's mad expensive out there. You can literally start and build a home and the same amount of money you pay in here, like you be getting a freaking 20, 30, 40, 50 K's is all you really need. I mean, you can buy a house for maybe even $10,000-$20,000 just to put it in perspective. Like it doesn't have to be the biggest house, but you're getting something solid from that.
Right.
And you imagine like buying a home in LA. How much you spend out here in LA for a house on average?
Man, $2 million on a
$2 million
small hundred
average.
The house is about 150 years old.
My friend, take that $2 million naira. Take and go to Nigeria.
Yeah. Build house.
Yeah.
Compounds.
30 of those.
Arenas.
I'm about to say arenas for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Build your own soccer arena.
Build our own football stadium.
Come on. Shit.
Yeah. That's what's up.
But I definitely like the momentum that started to be created. You know, just the connection and the bridge that's starting to happen more and more every year. And
exposure too.
Exposure,
people are beginning to like say, come home, and they're showing you what it's like. Like every time I go to Nigeria, all I'm doing is showing myself, turning up party after party, and people are like, "Oh, you're doing? Yeah, that's all I'm really doing."
Why not? You home? Why not?
I'm home, and they celebrating me. I'm celebrating with them. Like we all celebrating.
What you supposed to do? Go home and sit in the house?
Nah, man, that's a
celebrate.
Go home and be struggling like, man, life is hard all year.
Right. Came here to turn up for sure.
Every December, I come this year.
Facts. Yeah, I think that's for sure to go. This December, I'm for sure going back. I believe you're going back.
It's not even
sure.
I believe. I'm going to be
and
back.
You're for sure going back.
Every
I think
year.
We're going to for sure record that. So we'll figure it out. We got time.
We're
for sure
going to
record that and give you guys that information.
And if you're trying to get back out there, man, you know, you let us know, man. We'll figure out a way to kind of, you know, help navigate that. I think You said you know somebody who kind of.
I know somebody that actually has like a travel agent, and she would help you with like. I mean, most every country does this. Some people just don't know how to tap into. Like, tap in with us, DM us something. I know a girl that her business literally is just having friends from all over the parts of the United States, and then she helps you with like your plane tickets and all that, and then they actually tell you where you can stay once you get there, and not only where you can stay when you get there, security, driver.
Yep.
And they take you places all day, every day. You get to, I mean, you're going to have a good time. It's like on being on vacation, spending a good solid week or two just experiencing everything. And, I mean, there's a lot of people that do this business, not just this girl I know. But if you want to, if you're interested in knowing about this, just DM us and we'll tell you how to make that smooth transition on to the motherland, man. We got you.
Facts. All right, so. I think that was we just wanted to wrap up a quick show for today, you know. I think get this out, get some content out to you guys, man, because we love you guys so much. I think it's a much needed thing. But on top of that, I know we're gonna tap in. We got some topics. I know people have been hitting me up, letting me know y'all want to talk about dating Nigerians or dating Africans.
We need a whole 1 hour show for that.
We need 2 hour show. And then also y'all wanted me to talk about or wanted us to speak about or speak on polygamy. That is a big one that you guys also have been talking about.
What's wrong with polygamy?
I don't see anything wrong with it at all.
Okay.
At all. Also, to each his own.
Mental health too. I think that is something
we got to talk about that too.
In the African community.
We don't even talk about that.
We don't even talk about it. So it's different. We're behind the eight ball.
We don't talk about it because we got polygamy. So with polygamy, you don't got to talk about. No, I'm just playing with you.
We're talking about a topic. We're talking about everything.
Yeah. Not at all. But
it's all coming in the next few weeks. So just stick with this. You'll see more and more content. And we're excited.
Facts. And with that said, you guys already know, hit the subscribe. Make sure you subscribe. And then follow us on all social media platforms. That's Instagram. That's TikTok. Three Tribesmen. Follow us, man. And we appreciate you guys. We honestly do. Thank you. And thank you for having following us on this journey. Peace.
We know that Kari lost.
Ah, parts.